You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Out in a barroom night, enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. That is a song, Hurricane, by Bob Dylan, that we'll talk about with our current guest in just a few minutes. He is Trapper Shep, a Wisconsin-based singer-songwriter, and we are proud to call him a Wisconsinite. We were talking about your song, Loaded, Trapper, and you mentioned you got Mark Borchardt in the video, and I was saying that I would love to have him on the show. He's a good friend, but he just doesn't want to do it. What did you have to do to get him out of retirement when it comes to being on camera?
Oh, I don't know. Mark's a neighbor and a pal.
Oh, nice.
So it wasn't too much of a stretch, okay. But yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. but he's a great personality and great source of inspiration and energy in the community, and I don't know, I think he's drawn to projects that interest him, and
yeah,
he's just a great guy, so
could not agree more. All right, well, without further ado, let's hear this is off the album Osborne, Trapper Shep's latest work, and it's called Loaded, and it is a great song. Loaded, a great song by my current guest, Mr. Trapper Shep, a Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter who has collaborated with some great people and put out really excellent material. Trapper, do you have a song when you tour or when you play live that people want to hear the most or request the most?
Oh, I wish I had a big hit like that, man. No, there are certain tunes, though, from back in the day. And on Wisconsin, you mentioned that. People like to hear that in Wisconsin, I suppose.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask the people.
Well, we will get Rick Conrad. Take a memo. Let's get on that and find out what people's favorite song is of Trapper's. Trapper, you mentioned On Wisconsin, a great song. And I don't know that, I'm sure most of the people know the story behind this and how you kind of found this song and finished it. But it was a song written by Bob Dylan, but not quite finished, like 50 years ago. And it's called On Wisconsin. You finished it. Can you tell us a little bit about that process, how you found the song, and what made you want to finish it?
Indeed. Well, you know, Bob Dylan is one of my childhood heroes, for one. He sort of invented what I do, in a sense. He's one of the greats, no doubt.
Yeah.
And in 1960, on the day he was recording his first album, he wrote a song just called Wisconsin, and it was like four verses, and it did not make the cut on that first album. And 57 years later, I was scrolling through the internet,
Wow. And
his old roommate had posted just this sheet of lyrics as like a relic, you know, a novelty item for auction, $30,000. And I thought, well, it's sort of in the tradition of folk music to sort of pick up where one generation has left off. So I took it upon myself, without his permission, to finish the song. So I set it to music. We added a chorus. My band did a great job pulling it all together. And then we put it out there on the internet, and eventually, Rolling Stone took notice, and Billboard took notice. You eventually took notice, and Bob Dylan's lawyers took notice, too. And it was good, though. They said, how would you feel about, you know, publishing this song with Bob Dylan for the very first time? And I said, I feel really good about that. So, yeah, that was kind of how it happened. That's the Spark Notes version, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a trip, and to kind of share a co-writing credit with a songwriting giant like that it's pretty cool.
It's incredible. And did you see Blowing in the Wind?
Or the movie?
The movie, yeah.
What was it called? The new movie, A Complete Unknown, you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry, A Complete Unknown, yeah.
Yeah. I think the kid did a good job.
Yeah.
A tall order.
Absolutely. I want to ask you, I mentioned sometimes how you do, you know, you write stuff that could fall into different genres. For someone like you, who is truly, you know, not pigeonholed into one genre or one type of music, is it harder to find a producer who has a grasp of what you're looking for? Or is it easier because of kind of the uniqueness of your material?
Well, I think it's easier to find a producer. It's harder to find an audience for it, right? Mm-hmm. Because when things aren't like easily understood in this world that likes categories, it can be challenging to kind of, you know, find where it's going to be heard. But, you know, I just got off a call with a music supervisor type who places things in TV and film, and I just did like a whole album of like pop songs, right? And for kind of more TV and film and commercial work. And that's so specific, right? But I think my albums tend to go where they want to go.
Right.
And there's good and bad in that, I suppose. But yeah, I think like it's maybe easier for a country artist, because it's like, hey, I'm country.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, I'm Trapper. I'm not sure what I am. You know what I mean?
So absolutely.
Pros and cons, I guess.
My guest is Trapper Shep. He is a Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter who has collaborated with Bob Dylan, and we are going to hear that song in just a minute. So we've got about a minute. We'll get the song going, Trapper, and I think we'll let it just take us to the break, and we'll come back and wrap things up afterwards. But aside from Bob Dylan, you've got so many great influences. Who else do you like to work with?
Who do I like to work with? Well, the latest producer is a fellow named Mike Viola, who's really this power pop gem of a producer, and he kind of he wrote and sang that song, That Thing You Do, famously, but his albums are really cool in his own right, and he's kind of a shapeshifter songwriter guy as well. So he is great to work with. We worked with Pat from the band Wilco on an album I did at Johnny Cash's cabin, which is a whole other story.
Oh, wow.
But, I've been fortunate, I guess.
Well, this is great.
Able to connect with people.
Yeah. We're going to play the song On Wisconsin. This is the song that, Trapper finished for Bob Dylan. He was like the lefty out of the bullpen, and it's a great song. We'll take this to the break. We'll come back and wrap things up with our pal, Trapper Shep. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, Wisconsin is a dairy state. Guess you all know it well. I was in Wauwatosa. The truth I will tell. It's a milk and cheese and cream. Yes, I've known it all my days. And I'm going back to my hometown. I'm leaving right away. I'm headed to Wisconsin. 2,000 miles to go. Madison, Milwaukee sets my heart aglow. I'm a-coming to that state and my heart's beating fast. And I'll jerk my banjo gently, twiddle my mustache. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, calling me that way. On Wisconsin, left there long ago. Ones are coming now, it seems. I'll tune my banjo in the hills and feast on milk and cream. And I'll stamp my foot through the grass and I'll never know or care. Yes, my home's in Wauwatosa and I'm going there. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, way on Wisconsin, on Wisconsin. I think I'm going to stay. Your city ways are driving me insane to drink. My home's in Wisconsin. It's a better place, I think. I have been in California.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network for a few more minutes here on this Tuesday edition of Nightlight. My guest is Trapper Shep, Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter. And what you just heard before the break was the song On Wisconsin that he collaborated with with Bob Dylan, ladies and gentlemen. I am not, that is the Bob Dylan, not a guy named Bob Dylan from Wausau. This is the actual Bob Dylan. Great song, Trapper. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you. I mean, I'd be curious to know what Bob Dylan from Wausau has up his sleeve as well.
He is no slouch, I'll tell you that. You might just look at his lyrics. That's all I'm saying. So this is fun. You've got, I did some research on you. I read this article that said you hurt yourself in a biking accident. And that's when you started playing guitar. And I love the moment when I talk to artists that they can look back on and say, that's when it all started. Is that when it all started for you, was when you got that first guitar? And if not, when was that moment for you where you were like, I'm doing this?
Yeah, I think it was probably, I herniated a disc in my back. My mom said, here, you should maybe try this. It could be safer than hurling yourself off giant dirt jumps and breaking your back. I would say that was the defining moment. And, you know, I was listening to or watching a movie in my basement, and the song Hurricane by Bob Dylan came on that you played earlier, and there was that like A minor chord, and it just was like boom. You know, the man, Bob, telling that story with such conviction, and his voice wasn't perfect. And I thought, wow, maybe I could sing a song too. I don't, you know, my voice doesn't have to be dialed. I think definitely hearing his music at a young age had a big impact on me.
Wow, that's great. And you're very similar to him, too. I mean, I'm not a music expert or anything, but you seem to take chances with lyrics. You use humor, too, in your songs. Does that just, when you're writing a song, is that just the way things kind of transpire? Or do you set out to say, this song, I have a funny idea. I want to put this in a song. How does it work for you?
I think in, you know, you need a balance in your music, the darkness and the light.
Sure.
And yeah, I think humor is always a good solution when you're stuck in maybe a darker subject in a song. You want to lighten things up, even if people don't pick up on it. You know, you pick up on it as a guy who's got to sing it. So
sure. I noticed you, I love your song Wildfire too. That was one of the songs I found online. And you said you were influenced a little bit by Bruce Springsteen. Is he kind of, where do you put him in terms of legendary songwriters?
Well, he's the boss, right?
All right.
I guess he's the boss. I love what John Stewart, I think, said about, you know, Bob Dylan at least, or Bruce Springsteen. It was like if Bob Dylan and James Brown had a love child, it would come out as a Bruce Springsteen. I just love Bruce's lyrics, and I think he has a great spirit about him. You know, he's been through so much, and
yeah.
He's had so many different chapters, and he's really honest and vulnerable with his lyrics and him, just the way he carries himself. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to aspire to with the boss.
Indeed. Just curious, but have you ever heard his Devils and Dust album?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Me you know, too.
That's a beautiful one.
It's like right up there with Nebraska as far as I'm concerned. The lyrics are absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. My guest is Trapper Shep. You can see him at the Burr Oak in Madison, September 26th for an album release party, or September 27th. In Milwaukee at Vivarium. I hope I'm saying that right. Before we let you go, Trapper, we got about a minute or two left. I talk about movies and TV a lot on this show, as well as comedy and music. Are you watching anything, binge watching anything that you could recommend?
Big time. I'm on my first try through the X-Files right now.
Oh, wow.
With Mulder and Scully at the wheel.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't need to recommend that to anyone, but I love it. I think it's super funny, and Mulder is this like, you know, wild man detective, always pushing the envelope, and he's always, you know, against the system, against the man. He's looking for the truth.
Right.
And that's harder to find these days, the truth.
Indeed.
So yeah, I dig it. He's cool.
That's a great show. I love the first few seasons. Then it seemed to kind of taper off. But boy, it was just great. It was so creepy. And same. I love David Duchovny.
Well, don't tell me it gets worse. I want it to get better. I believe it will as they find the truth.
Oh, man. I thought that was about as unspoiler alerty as I could be. But I apologize if you find yourself getting bored watching The X-Files. You won't for a very long time. It's a great show. Trapper, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your music with us. I hope we could do this again sometime. I'm a huge fan.
The truth is out there. Trust no one.
And it's in Trapper Shep's music. So check it out and check him out in Madison or Milwaukee on September 26th and 27th. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. Conrad, we finally made that happen. We've been trying to get Trapper on.
Yes.
Not like harassing him or anything, but I know Terry Barr introduced us to him and his music. It's fantastic.
Fun interview.
Very fun guy. And incredibly talented, obviously. All right, this is, we got a great show tomorrow night too, folks. I hope you come back and visit us tomorrow night, where we will have actor Mike McGill from Bosch and Shameless, and comedian and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm will be here. My thanks to Trapper Shep and to you, the listener, for all your texts and calls. It's been a fun night here on Nightlight. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
Stops. One of us had better call up the cops. Enzo Petty calls the cops. And they arrive on the scene with their red lights flashing in a hot New Jersey night. Going down, down, down. Come on! We get twisted and we go out
with it for now. So our question of the night is, what is your favorite musical performance in a movie? And Everett from Sun Prairie says, Man of Constant Sorrow, The Soggy Bottom Boys, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That is a great one. I actually thought of that earlier today, and I meant to write it down, and I didn't. Good one. Thank you, Everett. John Murray, Purple Rain was an amazing display of musical talent. Totally agree. And Dave on the stream says, the opera music in Shawshank. And that is great music. I think it's called The Marriage of Figaro, and it is so beautifully used in that movie. I totally agree, Dave. Dave also says, stop singing, Pete. Is that the name of a song, or is he making a request?
I think he's saying you just can't do it anymore.
All right. And then Mark from Prairie to Sex says, an animated short that came, The Incredibles 2, Bow, is really charming. Oh, huh, not aware of that. Thank you, Mark. Hey, Mike Clemens is here, folks. He is in the studio. I just took his picture through the window. He was excited about it.
Yeah.
I think it was fun for all of us, but he is joining us here in the studio to talk.
Yeah, but we had some women walking by and whisper to each other, what the hell is this guy doing?
You know what? They walked out.
What the hell's going on?
They walked out right before you got out there, and I started pointing like this, thinking it was going to be you, and they were like, what? Like, they thought I was telling them what to do. It's good to have you here, Mike. So we were talking about Jim Brown, and you said you got to sit next to him. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, and you know, it's the longer I get into this, the best way to, when you're around those kinds of folks, is just stay in the moment, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gee, Jim Brown, I signed the Dirty Dozen. I remember all these moves, and you read their. What's that, IMBD thing to them? You know?
IMDb, yeah, IMDb.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I know. Yes, that's right.
Thank you. I did a movie.
Thank you. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I've get friendships, if you will, with some of these guys when they just say, do you know where the elevators are?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Just something come on this
right.
way.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Just stay in the moment.
Yeah. Or make an offbeat, something that's not about their career or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, great socks. That always works for me.
I mean, you could end up going to lunch with them. At some point, you know, and then you can get into it.
Sure.
But, you know, don't turn it into an interview. Just make a contact.
I didn't realize. I just pulled him up. He just died in 2023. I thought he passed away like in 2015 or something. But
no, Jim Brown. No, okay. Just a couple years ago. Yeah.
All right. So, Mike, what is going on? The Packers are 2-0 and off to an incredible start. And I think probably they might have been 2-0 with or without Micah Parsons, maybe. But does this... I told Conrad and I were talking about this, and I said, I don't know if Micah Parsons gets you to the Super Bowl, but it probably makes you the favorite for the division. Am I way off there? Or?
I don't know, because in these two games, and then you look at the what they call the All-22, you know, from the end, I can't get over how Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator, is rushing four, maybe brings a fifth guy, but they're all coming so fast. And what usually happens is with each play or every other play, one guy breaks through, but it's breaking down these pockets of the Lions and now the Commanders. And one guy, and then it turns into a jailbreak. But it, the speed at which they're hitting is.
Okay.
And I, you know, and you just say, is it Micah Parsons? Is it because offenses are the quarterback, starting with the quarterback, is so concerned where number one is? And by the way, that number, when you're up in the press box on game day, looks like a big dorsal fin coming out of the sky. I mean, he looks like a shark out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see him from all over the stadium, from the highest points, that big number one. And when he comes onto the field, puts his hand down, the play starts, and you can see him just stick out in between all the players and quickly wiggle his way around, and all of a sudden, he's hurrying the quarterback. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So is that making the whole defense, or is it the effort, or is it, you know, maybe the boring explanation is it's year two of the defense.
True.
And they know where they're going. They know what they're doing. And that gets down to even Quay Walker, a first-round pick out of Georgia in his, what, fourth year now, I think. But, you know, Quay Walker says, look, here's the deal. It's to the point now where half will give me the defensive call in my helmet because he's up in the press box. And he can start with the first few words, and I know what the situation is. Okay, second and seven. And I can complete the sentence for him.
Wow.
So when you don't have to think.
Right. Like that,
and now you could just totally react to the play, right?
Yeah.
You play two steps faster that way. And you can go more on instinct, and that's going to make your defense faster. Now, you know, I've pointed out to everybody, Vic Fangio was his first year in Philadelphia as the defense coordinator. How'd that work out? Yeah. They won the Super Bowl.
He's great.
And they crushed everybody.
Right.
They had a tremendous roster.
True.
They had a tremendous roster where they beat the Chiefs with just four down linemen, led by that Jalen Carter, big dude there on the line, the guy who spit on Dak Prescott that night.
Which supposedly Dak Prescott spit on him first. Yeah, Is that not true?
It's a whole Zabruder film. You know, it's like the Seinfeld.
By way of Seinfeld.
It was a magic loogie. A magic loogie.
Keith Hernandez.
Yeah. But that's the difference in this whole team. Is how the Packers defense is just dominating these games.
Yeah.
And now Jordan Love can sort of get into a groove. But we got some breaking news here this afternoon. They let us in this morning, Pete, and we watched the starter practice, drills and all that. And then they get to 11 on 11, and now they're going to start, you know, working on day two of their game plan. What do we do on second down? What do we do on third down? That's when we get kicked out.
Okay.
And they've got all these big tarps. You know, if you drive by Lambeau Field and the Hudson Center. Now you see this big black tarps because of the Resch Center and the new Expo Center that they got because they don't want people peeking
spy.
In. Yeah, they spent a couple of million dollars on these extra huge, large black tarpaulins to block the view in there. But they excuse us. And then when practice is over, we go in the locker room, we're talking to players. And I was in there I wouldn't want to play poker with these guys. Because I was talking to him about this Browns rookie tight end, this Harold Finnan Jr. He set an NFL record for the Browns with most receptions in an NFL debut for a tight end
in
the league. Yeah. It's a guy that number 44, look for him in Sunday's game with the Browns that, you know, the Packers defense are going to have to cover. And I'm talking to some of the linebackers, but I say, this kid looks like the next Tucker Kraft, huh? And they didn't blink. And as soon as they close the locker room doors, about 15 minutes later, they slip a little thing to ESPN, like Tucker Kraft, you know, had to leave practice today. Oh, I know what it was. The injury report came out.
Oh.
And it said Tucker Kraft knee, limited participation. So then a call was put in, and then the team responded, yeah, he had a knee. It happened during practice today. He's currently being evaluated. Now, the later reports from Ian Rappaport from NFL Network says, you know, this is the agent.
Yeah.
And we think he tweaked it. You know, it's not as serious. So they were concerned that he tore something today.
Jeez.
And now, you know, initial evaluations is a sprain. So Tucker Kraft, I imagine, is not going to play this weekend. But maybe it's a 2 or 3 week
too
thing.
Too serious, though.
Not yeah. season ending.
Okay. Well, that's good. So we have to, I want to ask you if you're okay with this. You posted something on the Civic Media chat, and I've had such a crazy busy week. I've just been glancing at things. But what happened with the Bob Uecker story? Did we talk about this the other day, Con? The Pat Murphy, well, I'm just going to let you tell the story.
I sent you guys some tape. So here's what happens. The Brewers clinch a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I thought this was so cool because it was Saturday night. And Saturday night's game ends in like the 10th inning. Another dramatic come from behind win of the year, like their 13th. Yeah. And they win 9-8, okay? And so after the game, we knew some kind of celebration was going on before they opened up the clubhouse doors. And Murph came out and did a press conference, and he was asked, so did you guys have a little celebration in there that you clinched? Yeah. He said, and he looks at the PR people from the team. He goes, we shot a video, right? Yeah, there'll be a video coming out later. So I wait till 1 or 2 in the morning. And the video is they've dimmed the new lighting they've got in the clubhouse. And they're all raising champagne glasses. So instead of that silly, goggles and bottles of champagne spraying all over, when you haven't won the World Series, maybe you just got back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or you won your division, which I think is kind of nonsense. They've got this classy, they're raising a toast with champagne glasses. Okay?
Right.
And it's quiet. And Murph says, I've got a letter here. I got this today from Bob Uecker, and I want to read it. And it starts off with, hey, guys, and it's a greeting from heaven. I'm on the ball team up here. It's great. There's no night games followed by day games, and he says, yeah, I'm the third catcher, but hey, it's still great. So it's like a perfect Uecker kind of thing. And as he gets into it, at midway through it, though, you hear Murphy say, so congratulations on your year. Most road wins of the season. He's reading off some stats, which clearly.
Right.
Okay. But he finishes, guys, but play for each other. Play your best every day and, good luck moving on or whatever. And he says, it's Bob Uecker. Now, I watched this thing like 3 or 4 times because the team has labeled it that Pat Murphy reads a note from Bob Uecker, just straightforward like that.
Right.
And I see Antanasio, the owner, at the start of this little ceremony, hand this note to Pat Murphy. And people are asking, well, how could Uecker have known what the stats were? Right? But as I look at it, it's like, I could clearly see that Uecker wrote a thing like, hey, if they get back in the playoffs, Mark,
give this
to the boys after I'm gone. Just a generic note. And Murphy's probably just ad-libbing the stats. But it was all identified as this was from Bob. And I could see, because he's got Antanasio handing him the
right.
note. Right? So people, were like ripping it and all this because it was all kind of weird, in a way. So I reposted that and said, what I should have said is maybe that's what happened.
Right.
I just said, Antanasio handed this thing. Well, it got 500,000 views in about an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
500,000. It went major viral. The teams went 1.2 million within an hour or two. And that went all through Sunday. They played a game Sunday. They lost the game. Nobody asked Murphy about it. And I'm like, what's going on? It wasn't until about 6 o'clock Monday night that they realized, okay, we kind of created a monster.
Because people wouldn't let it go?
So they said, the Brewers would like to let folks know, we'd like to clarify that Bob didn't actually write the letter. That's something that Pat wrote. We just thought everybody would have picked up on that. Like, no. And that alone, if that's what it was, and that's what it was, if it was just Pat Murphy being creative,
right.
And writing something in the voice of Bob Uecker, that's touching too.
Right.
But after the week the whole world had just had.
Yeah, right.
You just kind of think that maybe it was even more special that they had been holding on to something that Bob did as he knew that he was in his final months of his life and wanted to leave something behind.
Were some people upset?
Yeah. It's Twitter, man. Everybody got
God, say no more. Oh, my God. That's the voice of Mike Clemens, folks. He is here with us tonight. Can you stick around? Help us close it down. We got a couple texts to read. We'll finish up with Mike after this very short break. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Mike Clemens is here in the studio. Terry Barr just dropped us a stream comment and put Mike in all caps, my favorite sports guy.
Hi, Terry.
Could not agree more, Terry. I am totally with you there.
She's here Friday night, right?
Friday night. Bar Band Friday night is tomorrow night. And I fully expect Mike to put Terry in all caps, my favorite music person.
Sure.
Sure.
Go with that.
You don't have enough on your plate, Mike, to remember something like that. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, best song from a movie, Children Don't Listen from Into the Woods. Bernadette Peters. Okay. You remember the movie The Jerk?
Yes.
Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Bernadette Peters, I think, is the one that sang the, if you like me, like I like you, like, Steve Martin sang Picking Out a Thermos for You.
Yeah.
She's great. She was great in The Jerk, too. Thank you, Jim, for the text. Jim also says, best movie of songs, The Last Waltz, the band, and an all-star cast. Nice, Jim. Thank you. Mark from Prairie du Sac says, Will Ferrell may not have sung The Whole Wide World, but it was still sweet. What was that in? Is that the movie with the that we just talked about before with Will Ferrell?
Yeah, I believe that is Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction, right. About. I have not seen that. And then our last text here of the night, John from Madison says, Stripes, when Bill and company sing and perform the pom-pom routine for the General Army Training, sir. I love, you know, I'm sure you've seen Stripes, Mike.
Been a long time, but yeah.
Been a long time. When they all fall asleep in the hangar after practicing all night, their march, and the one guy says, what time is it? Two of them wake up. One says, what time is it? 3 o'clock. The other one says, what time's graduation? The guy says, 2 o'clock. We still got an hour to sleep. it's just beautiful. All right. So, Mike, what can we expect? I mean, the Brewers are 5 games up. They're going to win the division, obviously. Do you think they're peaking at the right time for the playoffs? And Pat Murphy keeps things light, right? Like that, I love that story you just told. He seems like a great manager to play for.
He is.
High expectations, but.
He's this tremendous personality. Yeah. And not overbearing. It's pretty much keeps it to baseball, but it's these little jokes off to the side that keep it light and keep people on their toes. That's just the way he is. I mean, he's kind of a former player himself.
Yeah.
And as I suggested to you earlier this summer, you know, when Uecker would come in the clubhouse, it's like, oh, here's this celebrity.
Wow.
It just felt that way, right?
Yeah.
Now that he's not walking in anymore, there's... The class clown is the manager, but it's the guy that decides if you get to play or not today.
Yeah.
And there's just some sort of interesting dynamic because of that. Because Murphy's almost as, no one can be as funny as Bob Uecker ever was,
right.
Ever. But Murph's pretty close in his own way, but he's also the boss. So that keeps it light, but keeps them focused in terms of what they need to have for their confidence. Quinn Priester is pitching tonight, or to start off the game, he had 5 strikeouts. The guys, I think they've won 12 in a row, 13 in a row when he's on the mound. So pitching, Brandon Woodruff looked good last night.
Yeah.
Freddie Peralta is still looking good. And then this Quinn Priester. So at least you got 3 to get you going into the playoffs. But we got word yesterday from Murph that Trevor McGill, their closer, and not coming back so soon from this elbow injury. Mm. He's got this flexor, and that's tough. You know, they got Abner Uribe that they can use as a closer, but that's not the best news. Jose Quintana, who also left with a calf injury. That could be a little bit longer. He's now on a 15-day IL, so he won't be back for the rest of the regular season. So that's a little touch and go.
What year is Jose Quintana? Is he in like his 15th year as a pro?
I think he's 35, 35 years old, 36.
You know how I knew the Brewers were going to win the division?
When?
When the Cubs had the best record in baseball, and I was getting updates every night from my dad on how the Cubs played. I said, all right, I'm going to start following him now. It's August. I can't follow 162 games. But the second I decided to follow the Cubs this year,
that's when the slide began.
They went south and the Brewers went north. And I just thought, like, oh, that's so Schwabe, you know?
Yeah.
Con, you know, we're not going to ask Mike to make a prediction because he's a reporter. What do you think the Brewers are going to do in the playoffs?
I don't want to say anything either, you know.
Because are you that guy? You think you're going to jinx yourself or something?
They've broken my heart many times before, so I don't want to, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't explain how you can win that many games against those many good. How you can sweep the Dodgers? And surpass the Cubs, who were off to a great start.
We had a decent lead at the time too.
Etc. But it just always seems like there's some team with a higher payroll at the end of the year that just gets hotter in the postseason when it matters, and you lose two out of three or something like that, and you know, and we get sent home again, scratching our heads. Here we are, not enough payroll, not enough veterans. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me how you can win in August and September. I can have a 14-game winning streak, and it's just not quite measure up to the Phillies or somebody else when it counts.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you see, we got about a minute left, did you see Just a Bit Outside, the Brewers documentary?
Not yet.
Oh, Mike, you got to see it.
You know,
it's fun.
I was there.
Yeah. You lived it, but
I was there. I was a kid.
Check out the highlights.
21, 22. But I'm looking forward to do it. Todd Allball has been talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, on our midday show here on the network. And it's on my list of things to do for sure.
It literally, like, we used to go up. My mom and dad met at Marquette. My mom's family's from Milwaukee. We used to come up and tailgate. My uncle Pat Murphy would set us up in the county stadium parking lot. Yeah. Some of the best memories of my life. And it was like you were being transported back there in this documentary. It was so fun. All right. Mike Clemens, thank you, sir. Always fun.
Thank you, Pete.
I would also like to thank Victoria Davis for making the popcorn pick of the week. Conrad, stay away from roundabouts. And tomorrow night on the show, Terry Barr and Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles will be here. Always fun when Stu's here. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabe saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.